The story is told of a small dog which had been struck by a car. Passerby sees the dog, stops. It turned out to be a medical doctor, in fact. He stopped, he picked up the dog, it was hurt, took it to his house just a few yards down the road, and cleaned the dog up and, you know, did some first aid on the cuts and bruises and cleaned him up, and the dog revived. The dog seemed to be pretty good, but he thought, I'll put it in my garage. It's warm, it's dry. And then the dog recovers, we'll just, you know, let it go or try to find the owner, whatever. So as he got the dog up and was taking it outside to take the dog to his garage, the dog jumped out of his arms and just took off. And the first thing the doctor thought of was, wow, that's a nice way of, you know, saying thank you. I guess he doesn't want my dry, warm garage. The very next night, he heard scratching on his door. The dog came back with another dog that was hurt. Interesting. And I thought, when I first saw that story, I thought, what a beautiful picture of evangelism. Somebody who needed healing, found Jesus, was healed, and the next day brings somebody else who needs to be healed, brings them to the master physician, to Jesus. That's evangelism. It's evangelism. Reminds me of my favorite definition of evangelism I learned way, way back in my Youth for Christ days, and it's one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. That's evangelism. Jesus met a need in your life. You have friends who have the same need, and so you bring them to Jesus so that need can be met in their lives as well. That's evangelism. Let me ask you a question this morning. And use your imagination. 300 million years from now, what's going to matter? 300 million years from now, what's going to be important? How much money you made this year? What house you lived in? What job you had? Where you went to school? What's going to matter 300 million years from now? What's going to matter? What's going to be important? I would propose to you that only one thing is going to be important. 300 million years from now, the only thing that's going to be important is whether or not you are in heaven or hell. That's what's going to be important. Where you find yourself 300 million years from now. Mark Cahill wrote a book, and in his book he says, what are you doing of significance today that will matter then? What are you doing today that's going to have eternal meaning, eternal significance? Otherwise, 300 million years from now, it's not going to matter with a who. But what are you doing now that's going to have eternal significance? I believe that question has only one answer, and you can call it evangelism, you can call it making disciples, witnessing, spreading the good news, preaching the gospel, or one beggar showing another beggar where to find the bread, whatever you want to call it. It's telling people about Jesus. That's what's going to matter 300 million years from now. And that's what matters today, telling people about Jesus. Mark Cahill, former college and NBA basketball star, wrote a book, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. And I shared this with you before, if you can remember. He says in his book, he says, I can guarantee that there's one thing that you cannot do in heaven that you can do on earth. One thing you cannot do in heaven is share your faith with a non-believer. The one thing you can't do in heaven is share your faith with a non-believer, because obviously you're all believers. He says, do you realize that when you take your last breath, you will never again be able to talk with a lost person? Since that's true, shouldn't it be a priority of your life to reach out to all the lost people on earth now while you can, before you take your last breath? My answer is yes, absolutely. And I believe that the church's number one priority is to do that very thing, to fulfill what we call the Great Commission. Our scripture is Matthew 28. Remember that very last paragraph in the book of Matthew that we call the Great Commission? Matthew 28, verse 16. I think we're going to have it over here. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus assures the disciples of his power. It says, "Then Jesus came and said, 'All authority,'" underline the word authority in your Bible, "'all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" King James Version says, "All power is given to me." Note something, that authority, what is authority? It is the right to use power. Authority is the right to use power. Bible teacher Warren Wiersbe observes, he says, "The entire Gospel of Matthew stresses the authority of Jesus. There was the authority to his teaching. He had authority in healing. He had authority to forgive sins. He had authority over Satan." And it goes on and on and on. The whole Gospel of Matthew is about authority, the authority of Jesus. And Jesus gave that authority then to his disciples. He passed it on. So today, we don't face a lost world on our own authority, because you know if we did that, we'd be doomed for failure. We face a lost world on the authority of Jesus, because he gave it to us. And it's his power working through his church that makes the difference. And then verses 19 and 20 and such, it says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And he finishes that with, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Note something. A disciple is a learner and a follower. A disciple is a learner and a follower. In those days, you didn't enroll at Lock Haven or Penn State or Shippensburg or Bloomsburg. You didn't enroll in a school. They didn't have them either, but that's beside the point. You didn't do that. You didn't enroll in a school. What you did was you chose a teacher to follow. You became a disciple of a teacher. You didn't graduate from Penn State. If you ever graduate, say, you know, I graduated from, Brother John or something like that. That idea. Okay, you didn't go to school. You didn't follow a school, so to speak. You followed a specific teacher, a teacher you chose. And you became their disciple. You became their follower, and you became a learner, a student. That's how it worked. So the disciples in the Bible, they chose, and Jesus also chose them and went both ways. They chose Jesus. And Jesus is commanding now his disciples, his followers, and his learners. He's commanding them to go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. It's interesting. You know, this command involves a lot more than just giving an altar call. So many times in a church we think, well, yeah, we're supposed to do the Great Commission. So we have an evangelistic service, we give an altar call, people come forward, accept Christ, and we're done. We're not done. We just got started. Jesus here today, he said, "You're not done yet. You just got started. You just got started. I said, go, make, baptize, teach. Turn those folks into disciples. You're just getting started." M. Green writes, he says, "The apostles are called not to evoke decisions, but to make disciples. And that is an altogether tougher assignment." When we have folks accept Christ, it's just getting started. The evangelism process just got started. There's so much more. And it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime of learning. I have a life application study Bible I like a lot, and I want to share a thought here and what they said in the study notes on the bottom. It says, when somebody is dying or leaving us, his or her last words are really important. You ever have a loved one on their deathbed and they say, like, "I want to tell you something"? You listen. because perhaps the next couple words out of their mouth are maybe the most profound thing they ever said. Or what they're going to say out of their mouth is the most important thing to them and they want to pass it on. So Jesus left the disciples with these last words, and they're important to Jesus. And so we listen. And they were under his authority. They were to make more disciples. They were to baptize and teach these new disciples to obey Christ. And Christ would always be with them. Always. Whereas in previous missions, Jesus had sent his disciples only to the Jews, now it was for everybody. We are to go. Whether it's next door or to another country, we are to go and we are to make disciples. And it's not an option. It's a command. It's a command. We're not all evangelists in the formal sense, but we have all received gifts that we can use to help bring about the Great Commission. And as we obey, we know Jesus is with us. We're not alone. We're going to have some folks share from the Arizona trip, but I got to tell you one story quick. I'm going to stand over here. It doesn't squeak too bad. So far, I'm okay. Had a family reunion yesterday up home, up in New Milford, up in Susquehanna County. Fantastic. Fantastic. We had time of sharing, and several of my relatives are in ministry, and several are pastors. And now their children, too, are moving on, and they're going on these short-term mission trips, and some of them shared. And, oh, I was so excited. It was so awesome. One of our folks shared, and they didn't go, but a group went from their church. And right now, I can't remember the country. I'm going to find out. I just can't remember. But they had a group of 150 people that they were going to feed. It happened like 3 weeks ago, this story. And they had 150 people. They counted heads. Most of them were children and some adults, but 150 people they were going to feed on this one day. So they went to the village. They bought rice and beans, which, of course, was the common food right there, rice and beans. And they figured, you know, they didn't need a whole lot because it was mostly children, but they had just enough to feed 150 people. When they got there, the day came, and when they got to the place where they're going to feed these folks, there were 400. And they panicked. What are we going to do? And they thought, well, we got to feed the 150 because we promised them that we would feed them. And it was just rice and beans. So they cooked it up real quick, you know, and they fed the 150 or so. They fed them, and then they started feeding more people, and they kept on feeding more people. And out of the same bowl that had food for 150, they fed 400 people, and then they had seconds. I know. It's not like a Bible story you read once. And they had food left over. Was that a trip or what? You know what happened? God showed up. That last sentence, God says, and I will be with you. God showed up. I had goosebumps yesterday too. I got them now. Wow. We are called to be evangelists. And the good news is God promises you won't be alone. I'll be there. You won't be alone. We have some folks who took a trip out west, and I know because they all got the same shirts on, and they're going to come and share, so I invite you guys to share.
Found it. All right. So on behalf of the mission team, I'd like to thank the congregation for such support for the mission opportunity that we had to go out there and share the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. And myself, I worked with, I did a bunch of things, but I led the worship end of everything, because you saw me up there with the guitar. Every night we'd have Vacation Bible School starting at 6:30. We would open with songs and close with songs. There was a puppet show in between. And then Seth Kurtz and I worked with the youth, and we had a great opportunity to share our lives with them and see what they're going through and experience what they're experiencing. Their lives are just the same as the youth around here, and they go through all sorts of trials and temptations, and things are rough out there. There is a definite presence of fear there for them. There's a fear that if they do something, there's going to be great consequences coming from their families, because to be a Christian out there, to leave your traditions is not very good at all. And there's a widespread fear amongst everybody out there, especially the youth. And they're also going through different things. There's a lot of drinking, a lot of drugs, and everything that goes on out there. And so they're just surrounded by tons of stuff that gets poured on them every day. And it's very hard to see light sometimes when they're out there living their lives. I also had the opportunity to go along and help with a vacation Bible school we did on the reservation at a place called Greasewood. I did a lot of driving while we were out in Arizona. I think I drove every single day at some point or another. Picking up kids, we'd have to go out to the reservation, go to their houses and pick up kids and bring them back to the church. And then we had a two-hour Bible school, and then we would return back to Holbrook. And it was quite interesting out there. Not only were we 3 hours behind you all here, but then when we drove onto the reservation, we were another hour further because their time zones are different. So at one point, we were 4 hours behind you, which was quite interesting. And then when we got back, it took me a while to get recuperated from that. Is there anything else you want me to share? It was a great opportunity. And the thing is, I felt that it wasn't enough time for myself. I felt like I told Seth on Thursday when we were leaving. Well, Wednesday night was the last night we did VBS. And when that night was over, I just felt like we didn't have enough time because we just started building relationships with these teenagers. We just started to get to know them. They were opening up. And then we have to leave. But I was reminded that we are there to plant a seed, and we're going to allow God to water that and to grow. And hopefully God's going to send some more people there to help continue growth and continue to provide some education for them. Something that was really special was we gave the youth Bibles and a card in there. And I actually got a response from one of the girls out there, one of the girls that I never thought I'd hear from. She surprised me and wrote me last week. And so that was great because it helped to affirm that what we do, what we did out there and how we shared our lives and shared what God's doing with us, God's at work in their hearts. And we just want to keep lifting them up in prayer and lifting that whole community up. And it fired me up to even come here and in our own direct area to still continue to reach out and to meet people where they are and to build relationships with them and share the truth of God's word with them and how mighty he is and how at work he is in our lives. Thank you.
I can't say much more than that. It was my first time out there, and I'm really blessed to go out there. These kids were great. I worked in the crafts, Amy and I did, and I remember we had this great big mural we were working on. And we didn't think these kids would get done, but it was just wonderful how they worked together. And it was, you know, the camaraderie. And I just, you know, really feel blessed to go out there. I've always been interested in Native Americans. And when the opportunity came, I decided to take it. And God willing, I can go out next year, too. Actually, this year was just a learning process. And basically, I can't say any more than Paul did, because he covered mainly most of it. Greasewood was an experience, too. That I really enjoyed. It was very stark. The kids were, like Paul said, they were, they had, you know, they seemed to really want us around to witness to them and work with them and whatever. Hopefully I can go out next year, God willing. And I invite anybody else that wants to go out too, because it is really a great experience.
I guess I'm the only one that wrote something down. It was definitely a privilege to be able to travel once again to Arizona. I think this was my fifth or sixth time out there, and each time has been a true blessing for myself and for everyone that has gone. As Bible school director, I would like to extend my sincere gratitude to each member of the team for their dedication and commitment to the children out there. I believe God was certainly working through us to reach everyone who attended. Even though we only had 4 nights to make an impact in the children's lives, by observing the interactions and relationships with the children, it was quite evident that each person, no matter what their role was, left a lasting impression on the children. Aside from Bible school, our team was able to complete numerous work projects with the planning and leadership of Marlon Yoder and Bible school at Greasewood, as they mentioned. That was kind of led by Lori Huntsberger. And the team leader, Vicky, provided the meals and sound leadership. The materials for the Bible school, the lesson materials, were provided from Dreisbach Church. And they not only gave us those materials free of charge, they also, through their Bible school, raised $465 for a back-to-school rally that Tina James does every year. The school districts in that part of Arizona do not supply any school supplies, and so they have to find their own school supplies. And the kids out there, their families don't have the money for those things, so it's either food on the table, clothes on their back, or school supplies. And they have to make those kinds of hard decisions. And so Tina every year tries to raise some money to buy a few school supplies. And last year was our first year that we tried to help them out and support them. And we went, my mother and I, Vicky and Tina, went to Walmart, and they bought about $100 worth of school supplies. And for Tina to have basically $100 given to her to buy something that she's passionate about and she wants to do for these kids was unbelievable to her. And then this year, we had $465 ready to go to Walmart to buy school supplies. And for, like I said, with Tina, I mean, $100 was a lot. When she heard that there was $465 from another church she never even heard of before, that is a true witness. And so it ended up, we spent a little over $400 originally, and then Tina found out the day before the back-to-school rally that there was 20 more kids showing up that she didn't expect, and so we immediately sent her the rest of the money so she could buy the additional school supplies. Additionally, without the full support of this congregation, we would not be able to provide the encouragement and solid relationship with the Faith Assembly of God Church in Holbrook, or the other churches and areas of ministry we have traveled to in the past at least 7 years. It is quite evident that God was working through us to minister to Pastor Marcus and Tina, as well as the congregation of the Faith Assembly Church, and each child that came to Bible school every night. On August 1st, 13 years ago, God called Pastor Marcus and Tina to minister to Holbrook, a city of economic despair, social conflict, as well as cultural hardships. As a result of their own diverse ethnic background, Marcus is Navajo and Tina is Apache, they are very familiar with the unique traditional cultural beliefs with which are rooted in satanic and demonic powers. They have focused their ministry towards children and youth, as well as providing support to other churches on the Navajo reservation. In doing so, they hope to bring light from Christ into the young people's lives. Due to their location and the economic depression in Holbrook, the faithful couple lives without the luxuries and pleasures with which most people experience and expect is everyone's life. Their gratefulness for what they do have and their sincere thankfulness for our support is a testimony for all to hear. By continuing a mission to Arizona, our church family can continue to build relationships as well as provide ongoing encouragement and support of the faithful ministry at the Faith Assembly of God Church in Holbrook and other churches throughout the Navajo Reservation. Thank you.